Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church Enugu.
Switch that complaining with thanksgiving. Switch it up now. Yes, you have complained. Yes, you have said. It better go. God says, give thanks. Give thanks. So tiny kapaga. Let no fret to shkeva. Glory, 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 honor, majesty. Kasumanas. Power belongs to you, our great God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See how big your God is. See how big your God is. Elijah said, pour more water. I know my God. He's a consuming fire. Pour more water. Make it more dirty. Make it more difficult. Make it harder. Make it harder. Make it harder. Make it harder. Make it more impossible. For I know there's a God. There's a God who can consume every consumable and even the ones that can't be consumed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we honor you. Thank you. We honor you. Lord, I honor you. Lord, I honor you. Lord, I honor you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He lives in you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. It says they are thoughts of good, not of evil, to give you an expected end, a future hope. I feel like somebody needs to sing. Thoughts of good. Let that sink into your heart. That your Father is thinking about you. And his thoughts for you are for good. Sing it and sing it and sing it again. Father, we thank you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have us in the palm of your hands. We are grateful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the million miracles we can't even take count of. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We'll count from today to the end of the year, and we wouldn't even have scratched the things you've done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You need to repent of this complaining. I don't know. You need to repent of this, you know, this complaining, this complaints, murmurings. Thank you, Lord. Be thou exalted, Father, in the name of Jesus. And right now, I thank you for the words you are said to speak to our hearts. Thank you for all trance. I acknowledge all that you have put in me, all that you're set to do right here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for every gift. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For today, our minds are renewed and our lives transformed. Thank you, Lord, for you give unto us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Thank you, Lord, for the eyes of our understanding are flooded with light today, that we may know indeed what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glorious inheritance in this sense, and the incomparably great power toward us who believe. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Can have your seat. Welcome, somebody. Have your seat. Amen. Praise God. God bless you, Hill City. You are a blessing, blessing, blessing. Hallelujah. What a day. This is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. Amen. You know, you make up your mind to be glad. The Lord has made the day. No demon should make you sad. Abi, you make up your mind, I'm gone, but happy. Thank you. I'm going to be happy. I don't care what whoever thinks. My Father has made given me a day. So I'm going to enjoy it to the fullest. Hallelujah. All right, welcome to church. Amen. So, we've been on the sovereignty of God, and I've tried to, first of all, I started with painting a picture or from scriptures, showing us how big, just getting us to think again how big our God is, if you remember that. And we went on to say how God's hand is in everything that happens, every scheme, every plan, whatever happens. Like we're singing, there is no scheme of man that can do otherwise. It is what he wants done that will be done in our lives at the end of the day. Praise God forevermore. And today, what I wanted to do, that I said the last time, that I want us to now see our own response to his sovereignty. Remember that. So I titled it The Potter and the Clay. The Potter and the Clay. The sub part is living under his sovereignty. Is that okay? Living under his sovereignty. Amen. I'm excited. I'm excited, really. Just this week, I'm thinking again, the deposit of God in us. It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. So let me not get ahead of myself. Jeremiah 18, verse 1 to 6. Let's start from there. Jeremiah 18, verse 1 to 6. Michael's, all right, thank you. At what instant? No. Verse 1, please. Okay, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, thank you, Jesus. I got my Bible. Amen. Okay. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise, I'm reading from the New King James, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. So God wanted to paint a picture, and he said to Jeremiah, go to the potter's house. I want to show you something. You hear my voice there. So sometimes there are things you go through so you can hear the voice of the Lord. There are things that will happen. There are places the Lord will get you to just so you can hear him. Okay? It says, then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was. Who is he? All right. Making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred. Marred. M-A-R-R-E-D. What does that mean? Spoiled. Scattered. You just spoiled in his hands. Okay? It says it was marred in his hand, in the hand of the potter. So he made it again
into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. So the clay didn't have any what? It didn't have any part in the conversation. Your own is just stay. Let me be molding you, Abby. You don't have any, you don't say anything. I may be master, I may be the potter. So what he says, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, so Jeremiah was just standing watching that thing the Lord says, go watch. And then the Lord started to speak to him. He says, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? O house of TCC, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord. He says, look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. O house of TCC. I figure that it's something to shout about. It's something to rejoice. That he says, as the clay is in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. Where is the best place to be? I mean, David said, no problem. I know that you are the judge. In fact, we should be running away from your justice. But I'd rather fall into your hands than in the hand of my enemies. I'm just trying to say that is how much so is even though I faulted, I'm in the wrong here. But I'd rather be in your hands still. Let it be you giving me the punishment than any other person. As the clay, he says, look. Look, pay attention. As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O daughter, O son of God. Isaiah 64:8. Okay, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. And all we are, and all we are the work of your hand. All we are the work of your hand. You see, the sovereignty of knowing that God is sovereign requires a response from his people. And that is surrender. Next month, that's basically what we'll be talking about, surrendered. Amen. We surrender in the potter's hands, like the clay surrenders in the potter's hands. Amen. So as believers, or as clay in the potter's hands, believers are called to trust God's wisdom above their own. Like Jesus in Gethsemane, we submit our desires, plans, and ambitions to the will of God, knowing that his purposes are always good and perfect. His purposes are always good and perfect. So God's sovereignty calls us to trust and obey. So it calls us for trust and obedience. Hallelujah. So I know that we believe, because we usually believe doctrinally that yes, God is sovereign. He's the potter. We are the clay. Amen. Who doesn't believe that here? We all believe that, right? So, but the question is, how do we play the role of the clay? How well do we play the role of the clay? Sometimes we want to switch the roles. Lord, you be the clay. Let me be the potter. I know how to mold myself. I can do a good job, Lord. I mean, you've tried. I've seen the blueprint. So let me take it from here, Lord. But you see, as believers, we must come to that point of total surrender to the Lord, where we know, Lord, you alone knoweth. You are the only wise God. You are the wisdom of the wise. And we, Ada, you're back. Good to see you. And we surrender to the perfect plan of God for our lives. Amen. So I was thinking about this. So I'm going to take a shift from what it would have been, but I was giving a thought to this, and I had a few thoughts. So those thoughts are what I want to concentrate on today so that we can, I won't overshoot. Number one point is that the potter says who we are. Number one thought, the potter says who we are. You can say, the potter defines me. That's profound. The potter defines me. So he's a potter that takes that clay, makes of it of something and says, you are a cup. You are a plate. You are a tray. You are a spoon. Praise the Lord. So when you say, Lord, am I a spoon? He could be saying, yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he defines us. He's the potter, we declare, he defines us. Now, so I started to think, so if indeed we believe, because like I said, we usually believe it doctrinally, but practically, we don't believe it. Or, let me say it this way, we don't live it. So I say, yes, Lord, you define me, you say what I am, whatever you call me is what I am. And then I turn around and I say, I'm rejected. I'm not good enough. I don't feel beautiful. So God says we are chosen, like we were singing earlier. He defines you as chosen. He defines you as righteous. He defines us as new creation. So how can we go back and still be defining ourselves from our background? From your biological inclination? He says you are chosen. You've been set apart. You've been separated. And then you go about and say, everybody in my family has high blood pressure. So you begin to plan your life. I'm not eating this. I'm not eating that because I have there's inclination that when I lost my one of my mommies, I've mentioned her here a couple of times. When she, like I said, she was big. Hey, yeah. She was hefty. So, but of course, we look alike. She's very fair also. So I can pass for her biological daughter. And I mean, I'm her daughter. So that's how, I call her mommy. But when we were at the doctor, when we were at the hospital, she was diabetic. And after she was, you know, processed her admission, so the doctor called me and sat me down and said, that's your mom. I said, yes. So they had to give me advice. You know, how that, you know, I see my mom now. So just start early to, you know. I was looking at me like this. Is it a fact? Is it a conversation that should be had? Yes. Yes, he's not saying what is out of place. Genetically, that is fact and that is true. But however, the moment we came into Christ, what is true for us changed. What is true for us is no longer what is true for the world. So everybody has eye problems in your family. It's true for them. But my truth is the truth. Praise God forevermore. I've entered into a new inheritance. You know, like, ah. Ooh, so I'm not inheriting anything that Jesus did not give me. So no, it's okay. Feel free to inherit what you like. It's a choice. I've made my choice. I'm in Jesus. The only thing I'm inheriting is what he said. He says I'm whole. I'm his workmanship. So how can there be some yama yama in the workmanship of the Lord? If not that somebody lied to us. Check your background though. Check your background though. I got a new background. You know what he called us? Royal priests. You know, when we read that our affirmation again today, I'm a royal priest. I mean, that's how he did in my stomach. I'm a royal priest. You see, that has to do something to you if we think about it. So by the Spirit of God, Adam began to name animals as the Lord was bringing them to him. So he will name a dog, dog, and the dog will begin to bark. You say, oh, you're a lion, and a lion roars. And then he'll call you, God will call you royal priest. And then you say that, ah, life is too hard. Just be humble. And when we say humble, it's be beaten down. Be make sure everybody is stepping on you. Make sure you, no, a million times no. You know, I was talking to my sister the other day, my Claire. I said, you know, when we talk about humility, there's that thing that we do. You know, maybe I came here, I'm supposed to minister in songs, right? And I stood here and I sang. But maybe something happened in my mind. I didn't feel like I did a good job. When I come to, maybe I just step down and then, and I'm talking to Jerry or any of my sisters. Yeah, I didn't do well today. I don't think I did well. You know, in my mind, I'm being humble. I don't think I did well today. What am I expecting her to say? Abby? So if she actually, it's true, actually, today was your worst ever. If she actually agrees with me, then I have a problem with her. So that's pride, actually. When I say, ah, I didn't do it, so I'm expecting her to begin to, you know, begin to praise me, hype me, so I'm like, yeah, right? Thank you. But she agrees with me. Ah, I will not take it. But the one that started the conversation, I'm saying that that's what we do. Oh, I'm a sinner, saved by grace. You are every day you are a sinner, saved by grace. Then stop sinning now. Praise the Lord. We keep defining ourselves by our feelings. We keep defining ourselves by how we feel about ourselves. You know, the Lord does not care about how you feel about yourself. I mean, ask Gideon. Gideon was hiding somewhere, right? How I feel is like I'm the least of the least of the least. Come to my village. Now my family be the least. Come to our family. Come to my papa house. Me, I'm now the least. But the Lord says, who cares about that? See, my definition of you is a mighty man of valor. You better receive that. So you could still be walking around like, I'm defeated, I can't do from him. And God is, I don't understand what you're saying. But that is what we do today. So the Almighty God, the one who say he's sovereign, defines us. And we don't accept his definition of us. We don't believe his definition of us. Religiously, we say yes. Yes. You can even post 10 scriptures. Oh, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you know what that means? It means you have access, 100% access to God every day, every minute of the day. It doesn't even matter if you have just faltered. Did you hear what I said? Because we don't run from God, we always run to God. Hallelujah. He defines us. Oh, Father, thank you. He called you masterpiece. Masterpiece. I've shared here how I was having insecurity about my legs. Ah, Jesus. He's lying. And his masterpiece. It was still this in my leg when I was in NYT. When I used to dig it, they said, dig it. I was digging it hard. They said, yes, you should come and join Water Guard. You are digging it well. Your leg is heavy on the ground. You know how they do that? Dig it. If you dig it. I was digging hard. And you can hear big, big, big. Lord. So what you think, I realize that that thing that is your greatest flaw is actually your greatest advantage. Yeah. If you could just take your mind out of that thing as a flaw, the Lord will soon make you out of it. You'd be like, you know, think about it. Many of these people who call coaches, when their selling point is their story. When you listen to Terry, Terry Savelle's daughter, right? So Terry Savelle, I think that's her name. Terry Foy Savelle. What she will tell you, all the stories, all the things she did, how she got pregnant, all plenty bad, bad things that she did. Now it's something she just shares with joy. Why? The Lord took that same mess. And now she's in different big, big stages talking about the mess. Don't you understand? He's the one that defines you. Oh, he's the one that defines you. The world may want to hold on to what you have done. No, but we don't care.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, glory to Jesus. Thank you, Father. First Peter 2:9. Okay, First Peter 2:9. Shall I talk about how the shot of your enemy is sort of a shot in Cascabas? It's popular, but I want us to read it. If you can open it, please, open it. Let's read it together. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, the New King James Version. Everybody, please open it. Amen. Are we there? Are we there? All right. Come on, let's read together. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He says you are no longer in darkness. You've been called out. Not only were you called out, now you have a new name. You have a new name. So no, you're no more tagged sinner. You're no more tagged failure. You're no more tagged sick. Now, you are a royal priest, a holy nation, his own special person. Whose own special person? I pray we can think about these things we're saying. Think about whose you are. So you can believe his definition of you. Many times we define ourselves by fear, failure, our past experiences. But you see, humility is agreeing with God. Agreeing with what God says rather than insisting on our opinions of ourselves. True humility is believing what God says about you, not insisting your own on what you feel about yourself. And Moses writing the scripture says what? And the man Moses is the meekest man on earth. Deal with it. I added that. Praise the Lord. So you will call it pride. He is identifying with what God says he is. Amen? God says I'm the meekest person on earth. I mean, that's who I am. God calls that humility. What he calls pride is that he says you are the meekest person in this house. And you now come and say, well, we're trying. You know, we're just trying. We're just doing our best. Are you the meekest person in this? Well, not really, but we are getting there. The Lord calls that pride. Am I crashing your worldview? I hope I am. Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know what else? He doesn't define you by what you are seeing of yourself. Listen, we pay more attention to our flaws, our weaknesses than our strengths. You are the one that knows what you don't know how to do. And somehow the enemy knows how to amplify those flaws, those things you don't know how to do. He never tells you what you know how to do. So the highlights, the lights are usually on the flaws. But God is not like that. The one who defines us knows what he had put, knows what he had made the clay to be. So his definition is his definition. The clay, you are a pot. So even if you are feeling like a one-handed pot, what I called you is a whole pot. Hallelujah. So I was thinking. So a plate was made, and then, you know, there are vessels that are placed in high places, right? And then the plate turns around to say, I don't think I deserve to be here. I don't think I'm qualified to be here. Are you with me? I don't think I'm good enough to be in this king's house. That's why some people will say, Lord, even if he's a great man in heaven, let me be. What are you saying? So if there's a royal stage, you will choose by yourself to go to the gate. You know, just say that, let just shall get to heaven. No. No, it's not like that. So all of us are looking at Jesus face to face and having meeting. You are at the gate, opening the door. Do you know what you are saying? That you are those people that the Bible says that they entered, you know, they missed out by the what? The whiskers. They just managed to enter heaven by. Managed. But people that saw me have strolled into, Baba God, we are back now. We are back. Then there are people that, you know, in fact, their legs were caught in the door. Their big toe was left outside. They managed to enter and they jammed the door. Their toe was still out. No! You can't be talking like that. If the Lord says you are a king, please let's believe it and live like it. Bishop David Oyedepo says that when the word of God dawned on him that we are royal priests, there's another scripture he quoted too that just portrayed to him that we are royalty. He said it didn't just change his mindset. So one, he doesn't dress anyhow on the streets. So he's always on suit, or you know, maybe he's about, but he's always properly dressed. You're not seeing him wearing boxers walking down the road. You see people tying towels, running around the whole yard and coming down to buy something on the street. If I catch you, me and you and that towel. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know one small thing, and you just came down the street to buy something. What are you talking about? He says he doesn't even shout in public. He says kings don't shout on the streets. Amen. See, kings don't shout on the street. So, see how his voice is everywhere, every time. Amen. I'm saying that there's something, the understanding who we are and the definition of God for God's definition of our lives is there's something he does to us. You agree 100% with what God says about you. The clay must stop arguing with the potter and begin believing his design. Stop arguing with God, whether you are too fair or too black, too short or too tall, can, can't, couldn't, can't. No, agree with what God has said. Just agree with what he said. Agree. Say, Lord, I agree. Lord, I agree. And then we begin to live it. begin to live it. You don't have money right now. You don't have cash. Does not make mean that you are poor. What you have does not define you. God defines you. God defines you. I taught you how to just say, I'm just temporarily unable to dispense cash. Period. Move on. You can't be saying, no, I'm poor. If poor, everybody, when you come, they know that Beggy Beggy have a right. No, that's not you. That's not you. I mean, you can have nothing in your pocket and you're still working like, why? My definition does not come from my pocket. So when you feel like, I get enough, enough day for day my hazard. You're now bored. When you don't have, you're put down, nothing like that. We align with God's definition for our lives. You know, there's an old story, the story of the eagle a farmer found the egg of an eagle, right? We know the story. And then he hatched it alongside his chickens and began to raise all of them. And then he'll be touching the ground and be eating with the chickens. And then he saw one day an eagle fly. What's that? He was asking his fellow chicken, he was asking a chicken and he was living with. What's that? He said, that's an eagle. He's the king of the birds. They saw. So, Gosha, we're not like them. Let's keep doing what we're doing. The person he's telling is an eagle. But you see, he's getting his definition from a chicken who cannot think beyond being a chicken. The chicken did not make him. Even though he says, we are different, but I mean, we grew up together. We grew up together does not mean we are the same definition. We are defined the same. We were in the same class does not mean that we are in the same class. He defines me. He defines me. So when you understand that somebody is running ahead, will not matter to you. Why? We are not heading the same direction. Please keep running. Do you understand? Because there's a person, there's the God who defines me. So I really don't care. I'm happy for you. Please keep going. Keep prospering. Keep doing well. But I'm good where I am. Why? I'm in the definition of God for my life. I'm in the plan of God for my life. Why we feel perturbed most of the time is that we define ourselves different from His definition. We call ourselves who we are not. So I need us to make that adjustment. What time flies so fast. Anyway, the second thought, let me quickly move on. The second thought I was thinking is, the sovereign God lives in us. So He didn't just define us. He didn't just say, you are gods. I hope you know He said that. He didn't just say, ye are gods. You know, of course, we're reading the book of 1 Samuel, right? You remember that when Saul went to go and meet the woman to help him, medium the woman, right? Help him seek the medium. And when he asked Saul, he said, what do you see? He said, I see a God coming out from the... It's real. This is what God says we are. See, don't you know? Ye are gods. But then much more than that. Not just did I make you to be gods. Now, He lives in you. Think about it. So see the picture. Remember in the Old Testament when they will make the tabernacles, right? Where His glory dwells, where He lives, where God lives. Abi, we know how He was revered. You don't just wake up and feel like it. I'm strolling into the temple. Oh, you're going to be carried out like a corpse. Praise God. You're not just going to stroll in because you feel like strolling in. Why? Why? Come on, church. Why? I'm not hearing anything. Eh? Somebody raise your voice though. It's a sacred place. He lives there, basically. Do you understand? God lives in there. So you don't just come in and just feel, no. So when God was speaking to them from the mountain, what did they say to Moses? Please. This thing you did, don't try it again. Be hearing from him. Let's just hear him come and tell us. We don't want to hear. So, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 3:16, please. Quickly. Let's read together. Church, let's read together. One, two, go. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? I want you to personalize it. Do I not know that I am the temple of God? So that same tabernacle that people were afraid to get close is now who you are. That same tabernacle that they were very careful about. He said, God, the sovereign God now chose to make me his inhabitation. You're not getting it. You don't get it. You can't be sleeping in this service. I'll give you mic. Are you hearing me? So this God that Elijah called the consuming fire is every day living in us. Is every day living in you. All that he is. Did you hear what I said? So God, the fullness of God dwells in you. Are you getting what I'm saying? The fullness of God. It's so deep a thought. It's so deep a truth. But it is true. So the greatest miracle is not only that we will one day be with God, but that now God dwells in us. For God, whose glory filled the tabernacle and temple, now makes his home in believers. We are his temple because Christ lives in us. We carry his presence into every sphere of life. You know, when we come, we say, Father, come. You know, when we want to start a meeting, opening prayer, Father, come. It's just, I don't know. It's Christianese. I don't know what to call it. But I'm saying that you can start your service without that. And it's not that time you said, Father, we have come, why are you to start coming? No, that's not, the moment you arrived, the moment you arrived, he arrived. So it's better to just say, Father, we thank you because you are here. And to say, Lord, you know, Beza, start coming, we have arrived. No, when we arrived, he arrived. He came with us. Say, Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. The good news is that presence, that he is constant. So it's not, oh, today you're not in the mood, you are down, so let me wait for you. In your down moment, he's present. In your excited moment, he's present. When you think the prayer is not being answered, he's present. When you think the prayer was answered, he's present. When you have it, he's present. When you don't have it, always present. The sovereign God is on your side. He's with you every day. Even when it doesn't feel like it. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. And then he went on to delegate his authority to us. He says, I'm dwelling in you, so now do the works I want to do. I want to do some things, but you are the one I'm going to work with. So you now begin to understand why God was angry at Saul. That he judged the Amalekites. He was angry at them and judged them. And said, okay, so let's go and execute the judgment. And he went there and was showing mercy. Do you get it? He went there and did otherwise. No, you do what I want you to do. I gave you the authority to execute what I want executed. So you see, when demons are doing yaya around you, and you let them, who let them? There are prayers that we make that God is just looking for how to bring you to a place where you will get understanding. You can't be asking God, come and help me and chase these demons out. When he says the keys of the heavens have been given to you, what you bind is bound. What you lose is loose. He said it. Is he sovereign? Yes. All power belongs to God. Yes. But in my sovereignty, I've given you authority. I've delegated authority to you. So you see a military, a soldier on the way, federal government has delegated authority to them, and then something happens, and they start calling and say, look, whether they should arrest people. You'll be discharged that day. Do you understand? It's expected that when you come where there is trouble, you act. Why? You already have the authority. James 4:7 says, do what? Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. As long as you are submitted to God, you don't come where the devil is misbehaving and you are asking the Lord, should I resist him? You are asking the Lord, come and help me resist him. See, the believer in Christ has authority. Believe that. Of course, it doesn't mean we become arrogant after me. No. We can't. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So everything that we are is in Christ. So now that we know we are in Christ, can we begin to live like the people Christ designed to be in authority on earth? 1 Corinthians, I believe it is 5:20 or so, it says, we are Christ's ambassadors. Can we begin to really represent God as his ambassadors? So that means you come to a place and you don't understand what is going on there. It is not in alignment with the plan of God. You say, no way, this can't continue here. Hallelujah. That's an understanding that a man like Archbishop Benson Barosa will say, you are saying you are going to have your witch meeting. You will hold. They say, even if God comes, you must hold. They say, God did not need to come. God doesn't need to come. Why? I am here. Shebi will say, this man is, you are not afraid of God, or you are too proud. What do you mean that God should not come here? Who are you? No. It's an understanding that God sent me here, a representation of him. A representative of him. So a governor of a state sends you to a place to represent him. And then they say, okay, give you a speech. He starts calling him. So what should I say? Do you understand? You are expected to act in the power and authority of the governor right there. You already know what is in the boundary that you should act on. And then he gets there and start calling. And hey, sir, it's now time for me to speak. I'm going to be talking. Let me be repeating after you. Or God, they will fire you. Do you understand? I'm saying that the sovereign Lord has given us authority and sent us. We are soldiers deployed. And no, we are not ill-equipped. We are very much equipped. We are very much equipped. I'm trying to bring to you that because sometimes we feel, oh, God is sovereign, so everything he says happens. Is what he wants that will happen. You have a role. In his sovereignty, he gave you a role. He says, we are partners. We are co-laborers. We are co-partners. So I'm bringing this. You are bringing this. So when we don't bring our part and we expect God to do everything, that's why we don't have results that we seek. Come on, stand up and say, God lives in me. God lives in me. Say it like you believe it. God lives in me. God lives in me. God lives in me. He has given me authority. So I say go and the enemy goes. I say stay and things stay. In the name of Jesus Christ. You can have your seat. So the potter designed the clay, honored it, not just to be shaped, not just that he shaped it to be beautiful, but he shaped it to become a vessel filled with his presence. Filled with the presence. Filled with the presence. See, this is why Paul can be preaching and somebody will fall from the window and die. He will be preaching, go down, raise it from the dead, went back, continue preaching till morning. Like nothing happened. That is why the shadow of Peter can heal the sick, because it's not, as he was going, was he saying, Jesus, be good, don't shame me, please, oh yeah, just have mercy, heal the sick. No. As they walked, he backed them up with signs and wonders. So what does that mean? When we have a mindset that if we walk, God will walk. If we move, he will move. If we step out, we will see his hand. Guaranteed. So what the disciples asked for, even when they were being persecuted, is give us boldness to do what? Keep speaking it. Because we know if we have that boldness to keep speaking it, you will be doing the signs and wonders following. So our role is do what? Step out, do. When you come to a place, when it's time to speak, speak. Be, understand that you have authority. See, the sovereign Lord lives in you. The God of the universe lives in us. Hallelujah. The God of the universe lives in us. The creator of the heaven and the earth is inside of us. The King of kings and Lord of lords is indwelling us. And he did not say, oh, I'm living in you, but don't touch my power. No! See, he willed that we can understand the power we have, really. Men can say, no, it won't rain. And it will not rain. Do you know, it's not even prayer, Lord, please let it not rain. It is not. Because we are rooted in him. From that source, you can say, let there not be rain. Why it will work is you are in alignment with God. So you are not just let's show off today. No rain, short. Is that there's need for that? James called Elijah a man of like passions as we are. Stayed with God. They have desecrated God. What's the word? Well, they desecrated God. That's the word. And God was not happy with them. He says the result is that there will be no rain in this land. Elijah stayed in that place. Say, you know, good rain. In the fullness of time, he went back. Say, it will be to rain. I'm not living here until it drops. Why? There's a guarantee that if I stayed here, rain will fall. We are filled with the presence of God. So to round off, I'm sorry, I'm just rushing all of this, but I believe God that will have more opportunities next month to really deal on them. Then the last thought, activating this truth in our lives. How do we activate this truth? How do we live this truth? How do we believe, you know, take in this truth and actually begin to live it? Somebody say, we speak it. We speak it. We speak it. I realize that believers, we don't do much of speaking. We don't do much of speaking. We don't do much. Joshua 1 verse 8, please. Joshua 1 verse 8, please. Someone to read Romans chapter 8. Maybe I should just open that. Read that first. But this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Shall not depart from where? From your bank account. It shall not depart from your mouth. He says, but you shall do what? Meditate or in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. So in other words, it should not depart from your mouth, but day and night. It tells you that the act of meditation is muttering, is speaking. As you are talking it, you are pondering on what you are saying. You are muttering it, you are thinking on what you are saying. He says that is the way. In doing that, you will see strength to observe to do. That is how you can do. You receive strength to do all that is written. It says, then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Hallelujah. When you look at Romans chapter 9, I believe it is a bit, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, yes. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, for that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. So you don't even have to believe first. You confess to believe. You confess to believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as you are speaking, you are hearing, you are believing. So don't say, I don't think, we don't care about what you think or think not. Speak what God has said. Do you understand? Say what God has said. If you will speak to this mountain. So question is, will you speak to it? Or will you be running around it? Oh Lord, come down. Will you speak to it? Or will you speak about it? You speak it. You know, when you... the first time that the Israelites needed water, you know, the instruction is do what? Strike it. Strike it. So do something from your strength about it. Slaughter a goat. Just do something. The second time, what did he say? Speak to it. Why? It's just a representation. Christ, you don't strike him two times. You have done it before. This time, speak to it. And so you will see the consequence. That he did not speak, he struck, and it cost him entering the promised land. Ask your neighbor, are you speaking? Are you speaking? Or are you striking? Many of us are striking. Me and our own understanding, running around trying to get it done. Meanwhile, he says, speak to it. Speak. Speak. We get tired of speaking. But everything we see was made from words. Everything God created was created with words. Jesus will say, what do you want? What do you want? He said, oh, come to my house. Okay, let's go to your house. He said, oh, just let me touch. He said, okay, that's it. Whatever you say, if it enters my ear, that's what I will do. So I'm saying to you, God said it to you. It didn't sound like you are qualified for it. It didn't sound like you are big enough to handle it. Don't bother. Put it in your mouth. Day and night. Think on it. Speak it. Think on it. Talk about it. You don't have to tell anybody. Or you don't have to come and tell anybody. Stay in your room. Say it. Say it. Say it. Say it. I always say, before I got married, I would say, I'm going to have twins. Why? It entered my spirit. I did not just wake up and say, I feel like... No, it entered my heart. I started to speak it. I started to say it. It didn't concern me. We all come back. I was saying it. Somebody said, I think you're going to have this. I said, but I'm going to have it too. First, do you understand? We put it in our mouth. That is how we create. That is how we create things. Please speak. At this point where God was talking to Joshua in Joshua 1 verse 8, he was having a hard time. Like, you just took up responsibility. from Oga Patapataya. And God will say, just don't worry, be strong, be courageous. The secret is this. Be saying it. Speak it, meditate on it. What you are doing when you are speaking, you know, is as a pen of a radio writer. You are writing on your heart. As you are speaking it, you are writing on your heart. The more you speak it, one day, beyond any shadow of doubt, you believe that it is done. And at that point, every part of you has said, let it be so. And there's nothing that can stop it from happening. In Genesis chapter 11, I believe it is, where the Tower of Babel, right? They were saying it. We are going to do this. They were speaking what they were going to do. When God came, he said, this thing these people have proposed to do cannot be stopped. That is, no man can stop it. Why? They have said it and said it until they believe that it is not possible for it not to happen. So can you stop saying that? Saying what God, remember what we started? We agree with what God has said. Can we start saying what God said? Say it again and again. Say it. A lot is a Christian secret, basically. You know what? When you hear some of these herbalists or the DPS now, native doctors, what makes you afraid is what they say. It's not like they appear. It's like they open their eyes and they're saying things, and you are afraid. You don't think that Satan is afraid of God's word in your mouth? God's word is in God's mouth is as powerful as God's word in your mouth. No difference. God's word in your mouth can never fall to the ground. Never. What continually fills your mouth eventually settles in your heart. And what fills your heart begins to shape your life. Agree with God. Agree with God. Agree with God. Agree with God. If you have said things that are not in alignment, repent of it. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Like I said, it's pride to say that you are what God, you know, what God says you are a king. You say, no, let's just be servant. He says you are a business owner. You say, Lord, He says you'll be talking to captains of industries. You'll be raising. You say, from where to where? Lord, I'm the least of the least in my house. No. You are saying that God is incapable. That's what you're saying. He's not able to make of you what he says. He's not God enough. You are calling him unqualified to make a good product, to make a masterpiece. Let's rise to our feet. Let's rise to our feet. To learn to speak to things. You don't like it? Change it. You don't like it? Say what you don't get tired. Don't get tired. Don't get tired. Don't get tired. Jesus lay a hand on the blind of the person. You should see. And then he said, I still see men like you. He did not say, well, keep going. No, he kept at it. He kept at it. Will you open your mouth and speak? Will you open your mouth and talk? A few pointers. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, what? We are his masterpiece. We are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. He says, you are gods. You are gods. Jesus says, this work that I do, you will do also. And even greater works we will do. Can you speak? Can you talk? Say what God has said concerning you. I am the head, not the tail. I am the lender, not the borrower. He says, you will lend to nations. Speaking, that's how to come into these things that God has deposited in you. Say it. God lives in me. Come and say that Christ lives in me. Read it in Galatians 2 verse 20. Christ lives in you. this life you now have is the life of Christ. Christ lives in me. I am no small person. First John 4 verse 4. He said, you little children, you overcome the world, for greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are no small person. Greater is he. And he's in you. The Creator Lord is on our inside. You are of God. You are born of God. Jesus says, I am the Son of God. And they pick up stones. They pick stones to kill him. Imagine that he now says, God is living in me. Picture the Israelites that are afraid of the temple. Now somebody said to them, a time is coming. God will not live in us. their minds won't believe it. But it is true for us. It was a promise and we have obtained it. Can we live like people who have obtained it? Thank you, Lord. 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 Christ in me is the hope of glory. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. So I have wisdom. I have the mind of Christ. So I think like Jesus. I am never confused. I know what to do all the time. I do hand things. I'm able to profess solution because I have the mind of Christ. I don't have the spirit of timidity. God has not given me the spirit of fear. What I have is the spirit of power, of love, of sound mind. I have sound mind. I am sanctified by God. I am sanctified by His word. I have been justified. Hallelujah. I have been accepted under the Lord. He will never leave me nor forsake me. So I am never alone. He is my rock. My strong tower. I'm running to him and I'm safe. No evil can come to me. Why? He suffers no man to do me harm. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He says, what good thing will you withhold from me? Everything is working together for my good. Nothing works against me. I am never disadvantaged. Life is working in me. From the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, life is working in me. Why? The resurrection and the life indwells me. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is living inside of me. For with long life he satisfies me, shows me his salvation. He is my light and my salvation. What can I fear? What should I fear? Who should I fear? Who would I fear? He is my rock. He is my light and my salvation. He is my keeper. Oh, glory to God. I have all that pertains to life and godliness. If it pertains to life, I have it. If it pertains to godliness, I have it. He has given me every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In Christ, I have everything. His promises are true for me. They are true in my life. I will never know better yesterday because I am the righteous and my path only shines brighter. There is no better yesterday for me. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah, Father, we thank you. Blessed be your name forever. Blessed be your name, O God. Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' name.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.